Jennifer Hembrick, midday host of Classical 101, WOSU Public Media in Columbus. Conductor James Blatchley spoke with me recently from his home about his recording of Ethel Smyth's The Prison with the Experiential Orchestra and Chorus and vocal soloist Sarah Braley and Deshaun Burton. Ethel Smyth was a woman truly before her time. Tell us who she was.
She is an incredible person to learn about, and my life is enriched as a result of knowing about her. She is a prominent composer from the 19th into the 20th century. She grew up in England and moved to Leipzig, Germany at the age of 19 against the wishes of her military father, who was quite strong-willed and only matched by Ethel herself, who was even more strong-willed, as her career would demonstrate in the future. She went to the Leipzig Conservatory, but then found it not rigorous enough for her taste, and so she ended up studying with Heinrich von Herzogenberg, who was a close confidant of Johannes Brahms, and Brahms frequented the household of Herzogenberg and his wife, who were both fantastic musicians. She has just an incredible life history that the more you look into, the more fascinating it gets. She's very prominent as an activist in the suffragette movement, and just was larger than life. There should be a feature-length film about her. And there are these anecdotes that, you know, you could still feel her presence in the room 3 days later. And Virginia Woolf said that being friends with Ethel Smyth was like being caught in the claws of a crab. She just had this incredible energy, and I can't say enough about her.
The Prison is a huge, large-scale work. It's sort of akin to the dramatic symphony idea of Berlioz's Romeo and Juliet symphony. What do you think prompted Smyth to write the piece?
That's such a good question. It's written at the very end of her compositional career, so the last large-scale composition she created before going deaf, like Beethoven. I think what prompted her to write this was coming to terms with her own deafness, realizing that her compositional career was going to come to an end. And this was her way of reconciling herself to that. And she was motivated to lift up and bring to the world's attention the philosophy of her extremely close collaborator and friend, Henry Bennett Brewster. And that, of course, the title is The Prison comes from his work of the same title, which she then published again in 1930, right before releasing this piece. So I think it was reconciling his death at a too early age. It was reconciling herself to her own mortality and her composition career ending. It was a lot of things. She writes and says in a BBC interview that it was her attempt to encourage the world to no longer engage in warfare. She said, if one person is convinced by this piece to no longer go to war, then it will not have been written in vain. In some ways, I see it as a summary of her career.
Talk about the ideas of imprisonment and freedom, which are both key ideas in The Prison, as Ethel Smyth may have viewed them, and also release or deliverance.
Yeah, there's so much there. And this piece is like an onion or an artichoke. The more you peel back, the more you see. I think that there is a lot about imprisonment that is metaphorical. It's an idea of solitude, and Smyth and Brewster specifically speak of the shackles of self. And the general philosophy is that the imprisonment is really self-imposed for many of us, and that there are these moments of eternity that are achieved in Brewster's writing and Smyth's setting to music, are achieved in some ways through rapturous experiences aesthetic experiences through art, and that we get a glimpse of the eternal and we are a part of the eternal through the art we create. This search for a kind of inner peace against the kind of anguish that we feel internally, and that can be a form of imprisonment. The imprisonment is also more of a plot point. I mean, it is about a prisoner in solitary confinement, feeling that his life is nearly over, and at various times feeling like it really is the end. And so coming to grips with the idea that, life is passing, and what have I achieved in my life? What has this all been for? You know, these are the questions of the prisoner, but for someone at the very end of their compositional career, looking at deafness straight in the face, they're also quite pressing. The real message, I believe, is to find a way to be at peace with oneself, and that this really is all for good reason. We deserve to be fully human. We deserve to be fully celebrated in ourselves, and that some of the ways that we can find ourselves encountering the sublime, the divine, if you will, are through experiences of art, of beauty, of transcendent joy. It's really a hope-filled message that no matter what happens, even if we don't finish the great work, even that is enough. By being human, we are enough. We don't have to beat ourselves up quite so much. So I think there's a lot to explore with your wonderful question, and I think we could keep talking about it for hours. It's really a fascinating question.
The Prison was first performed 90 years ago. What was the immediate critical reaction to the work?
Well, from what I know, the first performance in Edinburgh was conducted by Smythe herself, and that was a great success. And the second performance shortly thereafter was in London, conducted by Sir Adrian Bolt. And for whatever reason, that was not as well received. It was performed once more in her lifetime in 1934 in a retrospective series of concerts in celebration of her 75th birthday. And those concerts were conducted primarily by Sir Thomas Beecham, who was a really prominent advocate for Smythe and, you know, one of the most renowned conductors of her day. That was the concert where, again, paralleling Beethoven in 1934, they filled Royal Albert Hall and a packed house, standing ovations, and she, by that point, had gone deaf to the point where she couldn't hear the applause. So critical acclaim, I think we can generally say with Smythe, consistently, audiences loved her music and critics were generally brutal, and often in ways that we can only attribute to hard set misogyny. Things like a remarkable achievement for a woman, and about Der Wald in 1903, one critic said too masculine, another too feminine about the exact same work. So as I've been saying, you know, we want this piece to speak on its own terms, and I think that's really what we owe to Smythe, is to let her music speak for itself.
Why do you think this work fell into such oblivion?
Yeah, I think several reasons. One is the misogyny of critics and kind of viewing her only in terms of being a woman composer rather than a great composer, which she was. And she had such success in her career. I mean, it's really shocking that she would have fallen off to the extent that she did. But that can be attributed to two other things. The two world wars were, of course, some of the worst things humanity has ever experienced. Also really bad for her career because she was such a Germanic composer. The First World War really put an end to a lot of her momentum in Germany. And then the Second World War, she was published by Universal in Vienna. And she, in 1939, withdrew her works from Universal Vienna. So they weren't particularly eager to be promoting her compositions, but they held her parts and scores. And, you know, she died in 1944. So, but then I guess there's just this mysterious element of what gets performed. And it's in part what we know about. As a global musical community, we did not know about this piece. It was not being performed. People did not know it existed. And even within her own output, there's a lot of now recordings of almost all of the rest of her orchestral music. This had never been recorded, which I found so shocking. And that's part of why I felt so motivated to create this recording, is to find a way to not just speak about her work and this piece in the abstract, as I've been doing for many years, but to be able to share the music with all music lovers around the world.
James Blatchley, you are the founder and music director of the Experiential Orchestra and Chorus, with whom you have recorded Ethel Smyth's The Prison. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.